find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Craig Czarnecki is an air quality expert with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He says before this year, the last air quality advisory in Wisconsin was in 2011.
It's been a little over a decade since we had one, and we've had nine this year. So in that sense, it's been a very unprecedented spring for us.
Monitors say Brookfield had the dirtiest air in the world yesterday. Wisconsin's embattled elections administrator will stay on the job, or so it seems. Terry Bell explains.
The State Elections Commission did not reach a consensus on Megan Wolf's reappointment yesterday. That either means her appointment runs out at the end of the week or that Wolf will stay on indefinitely. That depends on how you read the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling that let Fred Prehn stay on the Natural Resources Board after his term expired. Enough commissioners decided they'd take their chances in the courts. Wolf says she's focused on getting ready for next year's elections.
We are out of time. And if I'm being frank, you know, the commission's vote really should have happened months ago, but here we are. And so it remains that my number one guiding principle is ensuring that election officials in the state of Wisconsin have the stability that they need.
The stalemate was strategic. If all of Wolf's supporters had voted for her, her nomination would have gone to the state Senate, where she'd likely lose. Some Republicans criticize her handling of the 2020 election, while her peers say she's one of the best in the country at her job. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The battle over the budget moves to the state Senate today, and it's looking more and more unlikely that the final version will be passed on time. Republican leaders of both houses tell the Associated Press they don't plan to make any big changes to the version of the budget that passed the Joint Finance Committee last week. That included a $32 million cut to defund diversity offices on University of Wisconsin campuses. Governor Tony Evers has said he'll veto the entire budget if the cut stays in. Rural Wisconsin stands to benefit from a $1 billion federal investment in high-speed internet announced this week. Mike Moen has more.
More than 8 million households and small businesses in the U.S. are in areas where there's no high-speed internet infrastructure. In Wisconsin's Jefferson County, Deb Reinbold leads Thrive Economic Development and says it's welcome news for smaller towns.
In today's interconnected world, broadband's not just a luxury, it's a lifeline.
Reinbold says her area has seen progress, and there's hope the new funding will close remaining gaps. According to a statewide task force report, nearly 7% of Wisconsinites lack access to the SEC standard for download speed, and most of those residents are in rural areas. I'm Mike Moen.
And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, Civic Media News. Time is 8:03.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Kuska. The most significant air quality issues of the year are happening right now in the state. The Wisconsin DNR issued an air quality advisory through noon tomorrow due to wildfire smoke from Canada. The air is unhealthy for everyone, and when the air quality is this low, the DNR says people should spend less time outdoors, especially children and those with health concerns. Most of western Wisconsin could see scattered severe storms this evening. The National Weather Service says areas from Polk County down to Eau Claire, La Crosse, and Richland Center all have a slight chance of severe weather, with hail being the main threat. Last night, the Eau Claire City Council voted unanimously to replace the Dewey Street Bridge, which is nearly a century old. The project would cost an estimated $14.2 million. That would be split between state and local government. About $3.8 million would come from the city of Eau Claire. Calls for replacing the bridge came after a hole formed in the middle of it last year. The city inspects the bridge every 6 months to make sure it's still safe to use. The old bridge will be used through 2026. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Packers signed their first-round draft pick.
Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports.
The Packers selected Lucas Van Ness with the 13th overall pick in the NFL draft. Van Ness has now signed his deal with the team. 4 years, an estimated $17.4 million, a signing bonus of $9.7 million. I asked him during minicamp, what kind of player are the Packers getting?
You know, at Iowa, we are very power-oriented. I've always had a lot of power in my game. I feel like that's the way I dominate. I spent the last 3 months out in California with Coach Ed, you know, worked with a bunch of, great NFL players. Khalil Mack was out there. I was with Kenny Clark was out there. So just working on, you know, a whole tool bag of different moves. Work on as much as possible.
Training camp begins in less than 4 weeks. Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Mets last night, 7-2. Home runs for New York's Francisco Lindor, former Brewer Daniel Vogelbach. The Mets' Brandon Nimmo slugged a pair of home runs off Julio Teheran.
Was able to get him over the plate twice, you know, to be able to do some damage on him. So I thought we did a really good job because it seems like nobody else has really touched him up yet.
Brewers manager Craig Counsell.
You know, it was on four different pitches, you know, three different pitches. It was a changeup, it was a cutter, it was a fastball, and they took some good swings on him.
Teheran spoke to reporters after the loss.
One bad game doesn't mean that I need to change. The way that I've been pitching, I feel that it's been good.
The Mets starter, Daniel Peterson, held the crew through six scoreless innings and got the win.
The slider came along as the game went on, and with using the other pitches, made that pitch better later in the game. So, yeah, I felt good mechanically, and it's great to go out there and get through six, and it's even better that we put a bunch of runs on the board and get a team win.
So now the Brewers slip back into second place, a half game behind the Reds, game three of the four-game series against the Mets tonight at 6:10. Cleveland Guardian manager Tony Francona left the ballpark early and was hospitalized with tests overnight. The 64-year-old Francona has had heart problems in the past. Golf, it's the 43rd U.S. Seniors Open tomorrow in Stevens Point. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On this Wednesday morning, the last Wednesday in June. It's the 28th day of the month. And welcome into the Stu Daniels Show. I'm your host, Stu Daniels. You can hear this show Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. And taking a look outside today, depends on where you are, but most areas in the state are going to see more smoke today. Hazy skies from the fires, from the wildfires from Canada. But also, many areas might see some rain today. For instance, in La Crosse today, partly sunny, chance of rain, high around 86. In Eau Claire, mostly sunny, chance of rain, high around 84. Wausau, mostly cloudy with the chance of rain, high around 79. And in Hayward, it's going to be a little cooler, high only around 75 with a chance of rain. And in sports, the Brewers lost to the Mets last night, 7-2. They're now a half game behind the Reds, who were in first place. And the Brewers play game three of that four-game series against the Mets tonight in New York City. In the headlines today, the Wisconsin Elections Commission deadlocked on reappointing the state's top election official. And former President Donald Trump says he may skip the first Republican debate to be held in Milwaukee. And why do you think that is? It's because Fox News, at least he says, Fox News has been ignoring him. The next headline says La Crosse, Wausau, and a few other Wisconsin cities may see a cut of the massive 3M legal settlement over forever chemical contamination, the PFAS. And also, the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday rejected a Republican theory that would have transformed American elections, and that's a good thing for democracy. 9 minutes after 8 o'clock right now, and hello to my producer, Aaron. How are you doing today?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Doing great, man. What's new in your world? Anything? You got your big move coming up tomorrow. Are you ready?
Kind of. I have most of my stuff packed, but not totally everything. Mm-hmm. And then I have to clean the apartment too. But luckily, I do. If I run out of time a little bit, Friday morning, I can still go back and finish cleaning because our lease is not over until noon on Friday.
Well, that's cool. They give you a few extra hours on that day just to make sure everything's okay. Well, that's good. I know you are in Madison, and the air quality there is pretty bad. I just noticed that the Madison School District has canceled everything for today, like summer school and other activities. What are you seeing?
It's definitely very hazy, very humid, just kind of gross, low visibility, smells and tastes pretty gross. And Madison air quality ranges around the 250 mark, which is very unhealthy, is what it's marked at on the air quality index.
Yeah, 250. I don't know if I've ever heard of a number that high. That's amazing.
Not anywhere around here.
Yeah, that's just, I can't even believe that. And by the way, if you're listening and you want to check the air quality where you are, you can go to airnow.gov and enter your zip code or town, and you'll be able to see what your air quality is like where you are. You can also go to the Wisconsin DNR site. I understand they have an index as well. So check it out. And if you are in a place that has a number, I'd say above 150, then you want to be careful in what you do outside, especially if you're a young person, or if you're an old person, or if you have some kind of health issues like heart or lung issues. And when it's up in the 250 range, then it doesn't matter what kind of health you're in. If you're a, even if you're a healthy person, you want to limit how much of that stuff you breathe in. That's for sure.
I just looked at an updated one. This morning it was around 250. Now Madison is at 268, which has exited the very unhealthy category and has moved into dangerous.
Oh, man.
So you're not supposed to be outside for even a few minutes.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm still amazed by how many people think that this doesn't have anything to do with climate change and global warming. You know, right now in many areas of the United States, down south, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and different places, there's extreme temperatures, you know, over 100 degrees now for a few days in a row. People are hurting, and some people are actually dying because of the heat. And then up in this area, then we've got all the smoke, you know, throughout the Midwest from Minnesota all the way to the East Coast. Towns and cities, states blanketed in this smoke coming down from the wildfires up in Canada. And this is the way it's going to be unless we do something to change things. Some people think that it's all a hoax. It's Democrats wanting to take your trucks away. Now we're paying the price. I think I first started hearing about the possibility of global warming back around the first Earth Day in 1970. They said, well, this is a possibility because we have all these carbon emissions that we're releasing into the air. And if you were to do a little science experiment and just add a whole bunch of carbon emissions to a closed system, things are going to get a lot warmer. And that's what we are experiencing now in the year 2023. So I guess we all had to do what we can to make the world a better place. And one of those things is just trying to determine how you have an impact on your environment. I know many of us drive vehicles, and is there a possibility we could drive less? Is there a possibility we could ride a bike more often or take public transportation more often to reduce our carbon footprint? It's a question that we should all be asking right now, that's for sure. We got 13, almost 14 minutes after 8 o'clock. The first big story I want to get to today is one that will possibly affect everyone in Wisconsin who votes. The headline from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says the Elections Commission deadlocks on the reappointment of Megan Wolf, setting the stage for a legal challenge. And it says here the future of Wisconsin's top election official was catapulted into uncertainty ahead of the next presidential election after members of the State Elections Commission failed to agree Tuesday on how to respond to a Republican push for her ouster. A position commissioner said was the result of unfair attacks by grifters still peddling baseless theories about the 2020 presidential election. Though five of the six commissioners agreed Wisconsin's election commission administrator, Megan Wolf, should stay in her job, their vote on whether to reappoint Wolf before her term expires at the end of June ended in a partisan deadlock on Tuesday as the commission grappled with how to navigate momentum among Senate Republicans to reject her appointment. The result leaves leadership of Wisconsin's election agency in turmoil in one of the country's most divided battleground states, less than a year before voters are set to head to the polls to take their first votes in deciding the outcome of the next presidential election. The bipartisan panel of election commissioners met Tuesday, facing the end of Wolf's current four-year term that was defined by the fallout of an onslaught of distortions put forward by former President Donald Trump in 2020 about Wisconsin's system of elections. The commission's three Republican commissioners voted in favor of reappointing Wolf, while the commission's three Democratic members voted to abstain from the action altogether in an effort to ensure a reappointment of Wolf would move to the state Senate, where Wolf could be fired by Republican lawmakers in a confirmation vote. Democrats argued there was no vacancy to act on at all, according to a recent state Supreme Court ruling that allows appointed members to stay in their jobs unless they are removed. Democratic Commissioner Mark Thompson said he viewed holding a vote as violating the Supreme Court ruling and would subject Wolf to more unfair criticism and turmoil without first securing support from Republicans who control the state Senate to confirm her appointment. And the quote from Mark Thompson says, "I don't think we should take somebody's dedication to public service and throw it out there for the wolves, the political wolves. What we have a fundamental agreement on is that Megan Wolf is the best person to run our agency. And that's why I'm abstaining, because I will take my shots with the court rather than at the Senate," end quote. But Republican Commission Chairman Don Millis said by not taking a vote to reappoint Wolf, the commission was abdicating its duties and the move would only give these grifters more ammunition if we have a holdover administration. And the quote from Millis says, "We are only going to incentivize these grifters to raise more money and agitate people even more. It's more than a bad look. It's going to create problems for us and for election officials throughout the state." So things are up in the air right now as far as Megan Wolf's future. What's going to happen? Hard to tell right now. I'm going to take a quick break. Everybody stick around. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
Successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Walks has a track record of making life-changing positive differences for their clients. 5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson and Walks, 855-954-1186.
Gingras Thompson and Walks, GTWLawyers.com. 93.5 The Tap.
Partly cloudy today with more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires. And then by later this afternoon, a few scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible. And a couple of those could be strong to severe with hail and wind being the main threat. Stay tuned for updates on that today. High of 83 this afternoon, 63 tonight with scattered thunderstorms and the possibility of some heavy rain. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 69.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hold me close and tell me how you feel. Tell me love is real. Whisper soft and true, darling, I love you.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock now on this Wednesday morning. Hope you're having a good day so far. If you want to join us on the phone, feel free. You can call in and let us know your thoughts on anything we're discussing today. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And you can also send me an email message if you want to. My email address is stumanradio@gmail.com. And Stu is spelled S-T-U. So we've been discussing the air that we breathe, the oxygen that we need that's filled with smoke right now throughout the state. Some places much worse than others. If you want to check your air quality in your area, you can go to airnow.gov and find out what you're breathing or how bad the air is that you're breathing. So how is air quality measured? And what are we inhaling? Here's the science behind the smoky haze. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It says here that air quality is dominating conversations across Wisconsin due to the acrid haze from, or is it acrid? Acrid haze from wildfires in eastern Canada. But how is it measured? And what does it mean? Here's some of the science behind what we're experiencing. AQI. Are you familiar with that? It stands for Air Quality Index. It's a color-coded index that determines air quality based on six different pollutants. There's ground-level ozone, carbon monoxide, sulfur dioxide, nitrogen dioxide, lead, and particle pollution known as particulate matter. So on this index, they call it a colorimetric index. If you're in the 0 to 50 range, that's green and it's good. If you're in the 51 to 100 range, that's moderate, that's yellow. The next color is orange, which is between 101 and 150. They're saying that's unhealthy for people in sensitive groups, mainly older folks, young people, and those with health conditions, especially heart and lung conditions. And then there is the red area, between 151 and 200. That's considered unhealthy. And next is purple, 201 to 300, which is very unhealthy. And that's where much of Wisconsin is today. And then we got maroon, 300 plus, and they say that's hazardous. And it said here that Milwaukee's air quality index measured 274 on Tuesday evening. Just to the west of Milwaukee, from New Berlin to Oconomowoc, and from Mukwonago north to Richfield, the AQI measured above 300. This is very dangerous air. It says here the primary pollutant was fine particulate matter, also known as PM2.5, which is emitted during combustion. In this case, that's the fire resulting from a chemical reaction between oxygen and trees heated to their flash point. So what's particulate matter? It says here particulate matter is made up of tiny solids or liquids suspended in the air, such as dust, dirt, and smoke. There are three different sizes. There's what's called coarse particulate matter, also known as PM10, that is stopped inside the nose when we inhale. Fine particulate matter is more dangerous because it is absorbed at the tissue level in the lungs and in our body. And then there's ultrafine particulate matter, which is potentially the most dangerous, and taken in at the cellular level, which means that stuff, the ultrafine particulate matter, actually gets into the cells of our body because it's so small. We breathe it in, gets into our blood system, and is taken out to the cells who are looking for nutrition to come via the blood. But instead, or in addition to the nutrition that they're looking for, they're also getting this ultrafine particulate matter, which goes into the cells. So what happens inside our bodies when we breathe in this particulate matter? It says, quote, those particulates are inflammatory. They directly activate inflammation in our lungs. They interact with cellular components in our airways, said Anthony Gerber, professor of medicine and director of pulmonary research at National Jewish Health, a leading respiratory hospital in Denver, Colorado. According to Gerber, The inflammatory response starts in the lungs and can move through the body, causing strokes and heart attacks in some people. Be careful when you're out there today. Try not to breathe in too much of that smoke. If you can help it, do what you can. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Brief. Severe weather and staffing issues are working against travelers stuck at airports for yet another day. CBS's Chris Van Cleve at the airport in Phoenix.
Flights are very full, and the TSA is saying Friday could be an all-time record at checkpoints. They expect it to be a very, very busy 4th of July holiday period.
Wafting smoke from Canadian wildfires have landed Detroit, Chicago, and Minneapolis among the top five cities with the world's worst air quality. The Weather Channel's Stephanie Abrams.
We're going to be dealing with the smoke on and off for a while as we still have over 300 wildfires burning across Canada. More poor air quality today and even haze lasting into tomorrow. Then we'll see improving conditions.
Actor Kevin Spacey's gone on trial again. CBS's Vicky Barker from London.
Today is about jury selection. It may be next week before the prosecution states its case that Spacey sexually assaulted four men between 2001 and 2013.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Walks, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The most significant air quality issues of the year are happening right now in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin DNR has issued an air quality advisory through noon tomorrow due to wildfire smoke from Canada. The air is unhealthy for everyone, and when the air quality is this low, the DNR says people should spend less time outdoors, especially children and those with health concerns. The Washburn County Sheriff's Office said a man is in custody after leading deputies on a high-speed chase earlier this week that spanned two counties. On Sunday night, deputies tried to stop a vehicle for speeding, but the driver took off, reaching speeds of over 100 miles per hour. They eventually went through a campground and got away. Monday morning, the vehicle was found, and the driver again fled. Deputies shot out the tires, and the man driving the vehicle then ran into the woods in Burnett County, where he was later found. One deputy was hurt. The man is in custody at the Washburn County Jail. And most of western Wisconsin has a slight risk of severe weather today, hail being the main threat. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Walks, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks today, 855-954-1186.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Walks has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. 5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson and Walks, 855-954-1186.
The Tap.
93.5. The Tap. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity.
See, I got a candle and it burns.
From Robert Plant. I know there's somebody out there saying, man, that sounds like the guy that used to sing with Led Zeppelin. Yeah, it is Robert Plant and Alison Krauss, who, by the way, are out on tour right now in support of that album that came out a couple of years ago that they did, their second one together. And I think they had to put the tour off for a couple of years because of the COVID epidemic, pandemic. And so I heard they're doing some good shows these days. But anyway, getting back to the subjects at hand, we got 8:35 right now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, discussing several different topics today. And one thing I wanted to get to here was some things that happened on this date. It's always good to look back, talk about history so we can look forward and not repeat some of the weird things that have happened in the past. But hey, Aaron, do you ever... are you into trivia, and do you ever watch like trivia game shows?
I don't really watch any trivia game shows. I sometimes play trivia games. I don't really like go and do bar trivia, but there's a lot of like video games that you get people together and you sign in on your phone and play trivia games that way. And I do a lot of stuff like that.
You play against other people?
Yes.
Oh man, I want to do that. I got to, what do you do? Download an app or something?
Yeah, it's called Jackbox.
Really?
Named after You Don't Know Jack. and they have a whole bunch of different games. You can get it on you need either a computer or a game console or something to run it, and then you sign in on your phone. Just put a code that shows up on the TV, and you can have, depending on the game, anywhere from like 4 to 20 people join in.
Really? Well, that sounds like fun. And trivia is a good way to keep your brain active.
Yes.
And hopefully keep your memory active. But here is one of those things that you often hear. Since I'm old fashioned, I still watch some trivia game shows. But one of the facts that often comes up is what happened on this date back in 1914. It was the Archduke Franz Ferdinand, who was the heir to the Austro-Hungarian throne, and his consort, Sophie, were assassinated in Sarajevo, Bosnia, which led to the outbreak of World War I. And it's amazing how many times you see, or at least I've seen that come up on trivia game shows and in other trivia contests. So mark that down. If you ever get asked, you'll know that that's what led to World War I. The Archduke of Hungary, I think they refer to him as, assassinated him and his consort. Also on this date, 1926, Mel Brooks was born. Actor, director, producer, screenwriter. Britannica says that Mel Brooks's films elevated outrageousness and vulgarity to high comic art. Indeed.
Yeah, isn't he 97?
And it was on this
today?
Date. Go ahead. Say that.
Isn't he 97? I think so.
Yeah, if he was born in 1926, that would make him 97 years old, right? Still doing pretty good from what I hear, but that's amazing that he's still around. Put out some crazy movies over the years. Are you a Mel Brooks fan, Aaron?
I've seen a few, yeah. I haven't seen a ton, but stuff like Spaceballs and Robin Hood Men in Tights are amazing.
Yeah, and Blazing Saddles. Yeah,
yeah, that too.
Yeah, and on this date in 1975, another TV personality passed away, Rod Serling, a guy who was always seen smoking cigarettes, smoked about 3 or 4 packs a day, they say. Rod Serling, writer, producer. Well known originally as a screenwriter, and also the host of Twilight Zone and Rod Serling's Night Gallery. Passed away at the age of 50 after having a heart attack, and then at the time in 1975, a cutting-edge surgery, open-heart surgery, which was still pretty rare at that time. They tried to save him, but then he died. He actually had a heart attack while he was on the operating table. Passed away a couple days later on this date in 1975. So let me ask you another question, Aaron. What do you think about polls, political polling? Do you think that polls accurately reflect what's really going on in the electorate?
I think it really depends on the poll. Some of them, like the Marquette Law School or the Marquette Law University poll, that one led by people like Charles Franklin, seems to be extremely accurate, and they're always within a few percentage points of the actual outcome. And as long as they're good at asking questions that are not leading questions, then yeah, I think it's pretty accurate.
Yeah, and I think that most people would agree with you for the most part. But even, and I'm glad you mentioned that Marquette Law School poll, because even they, the Marquette Law School poll people and Charles Franklin, are making some changes now to the Marquette Law School poll. And the reason why, mainly, I guess, is because it's hard to reach people. Most people work off their cell phones these days, or mobile phones. And if they see a call coming in that they don't recognize, or a phone number that they don't recognize, then they're not going to answer. So it's really hard to get people to respond to these polls. So what Marquette is going to do now, Marquette Law School poll, they said that previously, or up until now, they would just call people at random and ask them if they were registered to vote, and then use that as the sample. But now they're going to change things around. And what they're going to do is work off a list of registered voters based on the official Wisconsin list. And they're also going to invite people to take the survey online, as well as conduct telephone surveys, and hopefully get a more accurate representation of what's going on. And it's not just the Marquette Law School poll that's trying to figure out the best way to get in contact with people. Many of the polling organizations are trying to make changes that will allow them to get a better grip, a better grasp of what's going on in the electorate. And there's an interesting piece, I guess this is an op-ed piece in the New York Times today, with Nate Cohn, or from Nate Cohn, when it says, the headline says, "Are Democrats actually winning older voters?" This gives you some idea of just how difficult it is to figure out what's going on with voters. And they devote a good portion of this article to what's going on in Wisconsin and what happened in our last two elections. Let me give you a little bit of this from Nate Cohn, chief political analyst at New York Times. He says, in the run-up to the 2020 presidential election, the polls showed something strange. Joe Biden was faring far better than expected among voters over age 65. Some polls showed him ahead by 10 points or more. It was a little hard to explain and believe. Yes, the pandemic hit seniors hardest. Yes, Mr. Biden was old himself. Yes, the baby boomer generation was aging into the 65 and older group, replacing somewhat more conservative voters. But could Mr. Biden really be winning older voters? When the final overall results came in, far better for Donald Trump than the polls suggested, it appeared to offer an obvious answer: no. 3 years later, I'm wondering whether there was more to Biden's strength among older voters than it seemed. Maybe he didn't win older voters by 10 points, but maybe he actually did come close to winning older voters, or outright did so. My renewed interest boils down to this. The polling, which was accurate last year for the midterms, still shows Biden and Democrats doing quite well among older voters. Our own Times Siena polls, for instance, were highly accurate. They did not overestimate Democrats And yet the Times Siena polls found the generic congressional ballot tied among seniors at 45% support for each party. In a question asking how they voted in the 2020 presidential election, the polls still found Biden leading Trump 53% to 47% among older voters. Could Biden really have done so well? Unfortunately, it's very hard to be sure. The various post-election studies like the exit polls or the data from the Democratic firm Catalyst still show Republicans winning the group in 2022. Worse, the hard election results don't offer much additional evidence to help clarify the matter. Voters aren't nearly as segregated by age as they are by race or education, making it difficult to find additional evidence in voting results to confirm whether the trends evident in the polls are ultimately borne out on election day. But there's one additional data point worth considering. Our high incentive male study of Wisconsin. Okay, so this is a high incentive male study of Wisconsin. In other words, they're offering something to get people to respond to this piece of mail that they received, which is a survey. It says here, as you may recall, we promised Wisconsin voters, this is the New York Times saying this, we promised Wisconsin voters up to $25 in an effort to reach the kinds of people who don't usually take political surveys. So if you avoid taking surveys by not answering phone calls from numbers you don't recognize, would you take a survey if somebody offered you $25? I might consider that. It says here, in the end, it achieved a response rate surpassing 20%. By contrast, only about 1% of our attempted phone calls yield a completed interview in a typical poll. The response rate among older Wisconsinites appeared to be much, much higher. And we'll get back to this interesting story about Wisconsin polling after we take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
One side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattenair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Partly cloudy today with more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires. And then by later this afternoon, a few scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible. And a couple of those could be strong to severe with hail and wind being the main threat. Stay tuned for updates on that today. High of 83 this afternoon, 63 tonight with scattered thunderstorms and the possibility of some heavy rain. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 69.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Right now, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show on this Wednesday morning. Hope you're having a good day. We've been discussing a few different topics. Most recently, just before the break, we were discussing how difficult it is to get accurate polling results these days. Since most people don't answer their phone, if they don't recognize the number that's calling, and there isn't much incentive for people to respond to surveys. Obviously, there are a lot of different people who call. And there are a lot of different organizations that conduct surveys. And when I have answered the phone in the past from a company doing a survey, I always thought it was real important to find out who is actually calling. Sometimes you get calls from organizations who just want to know where you stand, not because they're going to put out a poll, but because they want to know if they can bother you to ask for money. So they want to know if you vote for Democrats or if you vote for Republicans, if you're a liberal or a conservative, and how you may vote. That way, they can let other organizations know that it's okay to call you and ask for some money for you to support a certain candidate or a cause. Well, it seems like, as we discussed before the break, one of the polls, in fact, what's often considered the most accurate poll in Wisconsin is the Marquette University Law School poll, and they do usually come in pretty close to how things turn out in the end. But in an effort to get an even more accurate reading, the Marquette University Law School poll has announced they're going to make some changes to the way that they conduct the polling. Up until now, they have just called people at random and asked them to take the survey. But now what they're going to do is work off of a list of Wisconsin registered voters and also offer people the opportunity to take the poll online. And there are other changes going on, too. We were just reading before the break that there is changes going on as far as how the New York Times is conducting polls. They recently did a poll in Wisconsin to get a better idea of what's going on in our state. And instead of just calling people and asking them what's going on, they decided to offer people money, $25, just to answer the poll and give us an idea of what you're thinking. And of course, that made a big change. It says, in the end, giving this high incentive poll or offering this high incentive poll achieved a response rate surpassing 20%. By contrast, only about 1% of our attempted phone calls yield a completed interview in a typical poll. So obviously a much higher rate of response by offering people $25. And it says here the response rate among older Wisconsinites appeared to be even much, much higher. So I'll get back to the story in the New York Times about Wisconsin. It says Democrats fared better among older voters in the Wisconsin mail survey than in any other major election study. Democrats faring better among older voters. This mail survey that offered the $25 found the Democrat Mandela Barnes beating the Republican incumbent Senator Ron Johnson by 52 to 40 among older registered voters. In comparison, the concurrent Times Siena poll using our traditional live interview methods found Barnes up by 46 to 43 among that group. Okay, so in the high incentive poll that offered $25 to respondents, it says here Barnes was ahead of Johnson 52 to 40. But in their regular poll, where they were just calling people on the phone and asking them to take the survey, Barnes was up by only 3 points instead of the 12 in the high incentive study. It says here, while the other election studies were even farther to the right. Okay, so in other election studies, it showed that Barnes was not doing even that well. The exit polls found Ron Johnson ahead by 7 points with that group, while AP Votecast found Johnson up by 4 points. The findings were just as extreme when voters were asked to recall how they voted in the 2020 presidential election. In the high incentive mail survey, the $25 poll, voters over 67 in 2022, meaning they were over 65 in 2020, said they backed Joe Biden by 55 to 38 over Trump. In contrast, the regular poll, the Times Siena poll, found Biden ahead by only 48 to 43 among the same group. The exit polls and Votecast data both found Trump winning seniors by a comfortable margin in 2020. To reiterate, there's not much additional evidence to help corroborate these very different versions of what happened among older voters, but the mail survey, the one that offered $25 in Wisconsin, is intriguing evidence. It's renewed my curiosity and the possibility that maybe, just maybe, Democrats are doing better among older voters than is commonly thought. If they are, it would help make sense of the party's new strength in special elections, which tend to have very old electorates, and perhaps in last November's midterm elections as well. So polls can be accurate, but they can also be off. And I think that's smart of the Marquette University Law School poll to make some changes, try to get a more accurate reading. What do you think? Hey, if you have an opinion on anything we've discussed so far today, feel free to call 715-388-7155. Be interested to hear what you have to say. Stick around. I'm going to take a break. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Hello, hello, baby, you called, I can't hear a thing. I have got no service in the club, you say, say. What, what did you say? Oh, you're breaking up on me. Sorry, I cannot hear you, I'm kind of busy.
One side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, Know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattiner.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?